We're going to be looking at a story in the Bible, and you can see on the screen, it will be found in Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son. So I'm going to read that. Now, you can follow along on the screen, or you can follow along in your own Bible if you've got one with you. I'm going to read the story, and then we're going to look at this story together. It was an interesting picture, wasn't it, on that first slide? That one doesn't come back again. It's all right. Luke 15 and verse 11. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and he went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Okay. Imagine this scene. See, this story just doesn't come on its own. Jesus is talking to the people. He's got some people gathering around him, and the people who are gathering around him are described as the tax collectors and sinners. Now, without wanting to go into too much detail, basically, they are all the people that the kind of respectable people would have thought, "What on earth are they doing? Who are these guys coming to Jesus? Jesus, you should know who these are. Tell them to go away." And Jesus is welcoming them. And Jesus is welcoming them, and he's telling them some, he's talking to them, and the religious leaders, respectable religious leaders, are in the background kind of going, "What's this guy up to? What is this all about?" So Jesus recognizes what's going on here, and he starts talking to the people about lost things. You see, he first tells a story about a sheep, who goes missing. There's a sheep who wanders off, and he tells them, well, what if a sheep wandered off, what would the shepherd do? You know, you all know there are shepherds out in the field with their sheep. What would they do if they lose a sheep? They'd leave all the other sheep safe there, and they'd go off and they'd find the one sheep, and they wouldn't stop searching until they found him. And when he finds it, he'd rejoice. It's amazing, I found my lost sheep. And then he told another story about a woman who had 10 silver coins, presumably very precious to her, a great sum of money presumably to her. She had 10 coins and she lost one. Well, if this woman loses this coin, what's she going to do? She'll search everywhere around the house until she finds it. Just sweep out everywhere, every corner, every nook and cranny, moving the furniture, doing whatever she needs to find the coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices. It's wonderful. Jesus starts talking about these different lost things. I mean, maybe, can we relate very well to that? What's precious to you? What would you hate to lose? Now, I say that because perhaps you don't keep sheep. Now, there might be some shepherds or farmers in the building, I don't know. But perhaps you don't have a flock of sheep. You can't quite relate to the fact of if one of your sheep goes missing, it might be a big deal. But, dare I say it, there might be some pets belonging to people. And if your pet went missing, that would be pretty sad. You'd want to do everything you could to go and find this pet. You might not have a physical stack of coins, but you can probably imagine the idea of losing a big sum of money. I think, whoa, this is quite a big deal. It matters. It's painful. I need to find it. I need to know. I care about this. You see, if something we value is lost, we go and find it. So Jesus tells these stories about sheep and coins before he tells this story. The story we've just read, and we're going to go through it in a bit more detail. And we're going to go through the story together. Now, children, I've just asked that question. You might want to draw something that you wouldn't like to lose. You could think, what's the kind of thing that I care about? Why would I, if I was to lose that, I'd want to search everywhere. I'd be, Mom, Dad, where's my dot, 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 dot? Well, you might want to draw that if you like. Or, as we're telling this story, you might want to start drawing out this story. It's quite a descriptive story. You could kind of draw pictures about how this story works out. That's just an idea. You don't have to if you don't want to. But how does this story start? We see a man who has 2 sons. He has 2 sons, and the younger son comes into him. We dive straight into it here. He comes straight into him and he says, Father, give me my share of the estate. Okay, son, big question straight away. What's going on here? What's going on? What on earth is going through this young man's mind? He comes and he says, give me the money. Give me my share of the estate. In effect, what is he saying to his father? There could be some sense of, well, look, Dad, I don't really want to be with you. Give me the money and I can go and do my own thing. Certainly, there's a sense, I think I know what I'm doing. I don't need you, Dad. Give me my money and I can go and do, I can live my life the way I want to. Maybe a sense, okay, it's been okay here, but I can do better myself. And ultimately, this is quite a big deal. Because what the son's coming and saying is, you know, I'm due to inherit from you when you die, but I want it now. Basically, Dad, you may as well be dead. Let me have what I'm owed, and I'll go. This is a big deal. This is pretty horrendous in a way. It's nasty. What's going on here? It's not a simple question, and yet his dad gives him what he wants. He gives him what he wants. Well, he gets his money. The father's divided his property between his 2 sons. And the son heads off. What happens next? Well, for a start, he probably has quite a good time. Party to pigs. He probably has quite a good time. All we get in the story is this very short verse. He sets off for a distant country. He goes a long way away. And then he squandered his wealth in wild living. I'm not saying there's anything completely wrong about partying, but he did some serious partying by the sounds of things. He did everything he wanted to, just whatever he wanted to. And he presumably had been given a decent sum of money from his father, so this, he could spend it. He spent it on all sorts of things. You would presume, insert whatever you want into wild living. And he did it. But it didn't last forever, did it? After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. And all he can end up finding to do is finally he finds a job with a man looking after some pigs. Which ultimately would have been pretty disgraceful for him, because for the Jews, listen to the Jewish listeners of this story, pigs were an unclean animal. We don't want anything to do with them. And this son, he'd been respectable and respected. He'd been in this respected family. And now he's reduced to looking after pigs. In fact, it's worse than that. He becomes jealous of the pigs. He's got so little that he's jealous of what the pigs have got to eat. He's got nothing. In short, he is totally lost. He's lost his home, he's lost his way, he's lost his money, he's lost his friends, he's lost complete sight of his father, he's even lost his dignity. He's totally messed up, totally desperate. Well, what next? We hear these kind of wonderful words. When he came to his senses, the younger brother came to his senses. Well, what happened? We see something's opened his eyes and he sees the mess he's in. All that he thought would bring life and fun and hope had failed. It had gone, it had run out, it had left him, it had failed him. He saw the mess he was in. He caught a glimpse and a memory. He saw how good his father's house is. What does he say? Even the servants in my father's house. Where's the words? He says it like this. How many of my father's hired hands have food to spare? Even the servants in my father's house are doing better than me. He saw the mess he was in. He saw how good his father's house is. He saw what he had done. What does he decide he's going to say to his father? Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. We see the younger son is totally lost and he totally knows it. He's in a real mess. But he comes to his senses and he decides, I'm going to go back to my father. Well, what next? What can this son expect? What welcome can he expect? How on earth will this father react? Let's think about it for a moment. How might we react? What do we imagine? Let's think what this son has done. He's rejected his father. He's wasted his inheritance. All this money that was going to be, it's gone. Particularly in the context, but we could even think about it here. He's brought shame on himself and by association on his family. And he's going back now filthy, smelly, completely undesirable. Well, what his dad's going to be like? He could be pretty furious. What on earth is going on here? Angry? Unwelcoming? Perhaps he'd send him away. Perhaps he'd expel him from the family. No, you made your choice. You live with it. Perhaps. It could be a bit of a better reaction, but a cautious, suspicious sense of, well, maybe, yes, we can tolerate you coming back. You've come up with a good idea there. Yeah, you can be one of the servants. Maybe. Maybe as a servant you can stay. Well, we've already read it. We know what's coming. What a reaction. Is this son met with fury? No, he's met with forgiveness. Is the father angry? No, he brings total acceptance. Is the son expelled, sent away? No, he's embraced. Is this just a gentle toleration? Okay, come in, don't make too much noise, stand in the corner. No, he is totally welcomed. What a reaction. As we read the words in the story, we see the son has decided to go back. He got up and went to his father, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Do we see the love of the father here? He doesn't wait. He runs to him. You see, even if he's not going to be furious and angry and look to send him away or just kind of tolerate him as a servant, he didn't have to run down the road. He could have made him sweat a little bit. He could have waited. No, no, you come all the way here, son. Yes, what have you got to say? All right. And then surprise, I'm actually happy to see you. No, he didn't do any of that. He doesn't wait. He doesn't kind of make him kind of do the groveling apology first. He runs to him. He hugs him. He kisses him. By the way, again, behavior that was kind of totally unexpected for those hearing the story. This father, the respected figure, he ran to his son, particularly his son who'd messed up. No, no, the son comes to the father. The son can kind of come in. But the father has so much compassion for his son that he runs to him, welcomes him, but more, he honors him. The son tries to give his big speech and the father seems to cut him off. He said, no, 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 servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. And why this incredible thing that the father said? This son of mine was dead and is alive again. It's like he's received this son back from the dead. He was gone forever. He was lost and is found. Father is just so overjoyed. Relieved, full of joy, just in wonder at this. What a restoration. And we see wonderfully in the story, that which was lost is now found. But the story doesn't finish there, does it? What about the other son? We get told the other son's out in the fields on his own. And he comes back towards the house and he hears the party going on and he calls to one of the servants. It's like, what is this? What's going on? I don't know who that is, by the way. It's a free photo. He hears the party going on and he calls to the servant and says, what's happening? And he gets told, in verse 27, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. But at this point, the brother's got a choice to make. How's he going to react? Well, unlike the father, we see the older brother is not pleased. We see he is so angry. You could imagine maybe he could have been, he could have been a bit miffed. I can understand. He could be a bit put out, but is there any relief? Is there any joy? Your brother's come home? No, he is angry. He's not pleased. Why should he get this? Why should this son of yours, notice what he says, doesn't even recognize him as his brother anymore. This son of yours, Dad, why should he get anything? And you see his argument as he goes on, all about comparison. All these years I've slaved for you. All these years I've done what was right, haven't I, Dad? All these years I've followed your orders, haven't I, Dad? All these years I've never messed up. All these years I've been doing the right thing, haven't I? And yet this son, this guy comes back having done everything wrong. He's wasted everything. And you never gave me anything, not even a goat to go and celebrate with my friends. It's comparing. I'm so much better than him. He's messed up so bad. Now, we kind of see the story here that we have to think about the context a little bit. Jesus has got all these tax collectors and sinners, all these people that the religious leaders think, why is he with them? And Jesus is telling the story. And he's recognizing the Pharisees, the religious leaders. This is what you're thinking, isn't it? This is what you're thinking. Aiming this story at them who thought they were okay, who've seen these people with Jesus and think, why on earth does he welcome them? But let's look at this older brother a minute. See what he says with his father right in front of him. I've slaved for you. I've followed your orders. I've never had anything to celebrate with my friends. We see a son who doesn't really see his father as his father. We see a brother who is also lost. He's not seeing his father, he's seeing an angry boss who he has to obey rather than a father who loves him. A father who has given him everything that he has, and everything that he has is his. We see a son who really just wants to go and do his own thing too. Couldn't I just have had a goat to go and celebrate with my friends? So we see another son who's lost, but he doesn't realize. So what's this story all about? We see a lost son, we see an incredibly compassionate father, and we see an angry brother who we realize is also lost as well. As Jesus was telling the story, we can see the tax collectors and sinners who are gathered around him, who, like the younger son, have come to their senses and come to Jesus. We can see Jesus who welcomes them like the father. And we can see the Pharisees, the religious leaders, grumbling like the older brother. We can see that in its original context. But this story speaks to us. For us, we see two brothers, two sons who describe us. It originally described those coming to Jesus and the grumbling Pharisees, but it's so descriptive of you and me. Because in reality, the Bible shows us that all of us, like the younger brother, are all lost sinners. Paul in Romans chapter 3 tells us this great truth: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's only verse 23, not verse 24 as well. Isaiah 53, if we look back in the Old Testament, I'm just picking out two places. This is what the truth of the Bible is. We all fascinating considering we're looking, seeing the story of the lost sheep as well. We all, like sheep, silly, not really thinking sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have gone to our own way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is one of those very biblical words that we don't use very much in the world around us. But that verse kind of describes some of what it means. We fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of God's mark. We don't do everything up to his standards. But also, we can see very simply, like both of the... Oop, it's gone back again. Oh, it's gone forward again. Where are we gone? There we are. There we are. Like both of the sons in the story, sin puts I at the center. I'm doing it my way. I want what I want. I think I know better. Even if I might be caring for some other people, I think I know the right way to do it, rather than following our Heavenly Father. Living for ourselves and not for the God who made us and loves us. And deep down, our consciences will tell us we know the truth of this. Our conscience tells us we're not perfect. We may not feel like we're in the same complete mess that the young son got into. But we know. We, like everyone else, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we can also have the tendency to be like the older brother. Self-righteous. Maybe we can tend to think, maybe I'm not perfect, but I know I've done better than them. I'm not that bad, really. I'm pretty good, really. I deserve more than that. I've earned a bit more than that, surely. Self-righteous, comparing, ultimately proud. I don't need anything. I don't need God. I'm good enough. Like the two sons, either we're lost and we know it, or we're lost and we believe that we're not. You see a story where both brothers needed the love of the Father, and that's true for all of us. We see two sons who describe us, and a father who is the center and message of the story. Look at the love of God as we see the compassion of the Father in this story. Through Luke 15, we see the joy of a shepherd who searches for his lost sheep and rejoices when it's found. We see the joy of a woman who searches for her lost coin and rejoices when she finds it. And in both of those stories, the message at the end is, how much more will there be rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents and comes to Jesus? It's brought home here in the Father of this story. Here is the love of God through Jesus Christ. A couple of chapters later in Luke, we'll see that this is what Jesus came to do. That shepherd might be looking for his sheep. The woman might look for her coin. But the Son of Man, Jesus, he came to seek and to save the lost. And we can see in John's word in 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are in him. This is what Jesus, the Son of Man, came to do, to find and save us, that we may call God Father, that we may be welcomed like the lost son. You see, the father in the story runs to his son who has wasted everyone, who returns everything, who returns in shame, dirty and ruined. And you know what happens in that moment? The father, in embracing his son, he takes on that shame. He welcomes him rather than casting him out. He embraces him. He takes his dirty clothes and gives him the best robe. He lavishes love on him. Love that word. Even if I don't fully get hold of every aspect of it, it just has that sense of, look, this isn't just like, do you remember those Hellman's mayonnaise adverts? Well, there was one thing where you could have a little squirt of it, or there was a big dollop of it. Lavishes is a proper big dollop word. Here's the love of God. And the Father lavishes love on him. It's completely undeserved, as we've already heard in the worship already. He puts a ring on his finger. He gives him the finest feast. And the point of all of that is this, that in Jesus, God has done this and far more for us. You see, we, like the younger brother, are just as dirty, just as lost, just as deserving of punishment. We see that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Later on in Romans, it will tell us the wages of sin is death. But what does God do? All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God provides a way. And like Isaiah prophesied, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to our own way. And what? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity for us all. What does that mean? Romans 3 and Isaiah 53, they show us the problem. All have sinned and fallen short. All of us like sheep have gone astray, but they also show us the solution. That Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. How? By taking our sin and going to the cross. You know, like the father in the story, he takes on the son's shame. He says, no, son, I know you're dirty and you've messed up and you've got it all wrong and you're a complete mess, but I take it. Jesus takes it from us and takes it to the cross so that whoever believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. He took our sin and went to the cross, dying an excruciating, painful death, alone, despised and rejected for you and for me. That we may be welcomed and receive this love and compassion. You see, that's the choice that we all have. We were all lost and in need of Jesus's rescue. And I know there are many here in this room who have made that choice, who have had their eyes opened by Jesus and have come into the full knowledge of what it means to be in the Father's love. Who, as it were, like the younger son, have come to our senses. And the call today for us is to be reminded afresh, do you know this love of the Father? Do you know him? Do you know this love that, do you remember how good this love is? That said, when you were dirty and lost, come in. I will take that. Know this love that we could never deserve, never earn. And let us grow in sharing his heart that would welcome in more and more. But if you don't yet know this love of God today, you have that choice. You see, it's interesting, this story kind of ends unfinished with that older brother. We know what the younger brother did. The younger brother came to his senses and came home to his father. The older brother is angry and he's outside. And his father talks to him, and we don't know what he did. Well, perhaps you're here today and you don't yet know what decision to make. We don't know. Will he come to his senses too, like his brother, and know his father's love? Or will he stay outside, dismissing this, maybe justified in his own performance? Dad, you're wrong. I'll carry on doing it my own way. I'll carry on doing what I think is right. choice today is there. Choose to know God's love. That's this glorious, those glorious words in the story that the father says to his, says to the servants, in fact. He says, this son of mine was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. It is an incredible thing when you come to know the love of God. People, all of us were dead in our sins, but we're made alive in him. All of us were lost, going our own way, but we're found in him. That can be your truth. That can be true for you, today. Like the younger brother, come to your senses. See the love of the Father and your need for him. Come back to him. The Bible uses another big word for that, repentance. It's about saying sorry, yes, but it's about turning to him, turning from your own way, turning from that sense of I am at the center and coming to him. Or like the elder brother, maybe right at this moment you're thinking, oh, that's very interesting, but I'm not that bad. I've earned my way. I'll just choose to do what I think is good. Perhaps you could look on others and think that maybe they need forgiveness, but not me. Well, the reality is God's got his arms open to you too. See that you need me. See that I am where you will find hope and joy. See that you can never earn it, however good, bad, or otherwise you think you are. But he, God, is freely giving it. Come and repent. Come and know him. Amen. I'm going to invite the band to come up, and I'm going to pray.